What we're really trying to do in this sermon series is we are trying to grow as disciples of Jesus. And we've defined disciple. Jeff Vanderstilt gives a great definition. I want to revisit it because I haven't said it like a month or so. And I'm not going to ask people to yell from the back pews like we do in missional community. A disciple is someone who worships Jesus, is being changed by Jesus, and is learning to obey Jesus and teaching others to do the same. There's a trap when you stop following Jesus to stay in the same place. You do not want to be someone who does not mature, who does not respond to conviction, who does not seek the word to better understanding, and who does not grow in love for God and love for his neighbor. A disciple should always be growing, always content with the gospel, but always growing in character to be more like Jesus. And so today we're going to talk about maturing and calling qualified deacons. Now we're going to define deacon and everything for you. Some of you might have grown up and had known, heard of a deacon, or have a family member who's a deacon. We're going to find deacon today because God continues to bless us. We continue to grow. Amen? It's been good to see God bring in new people. We got about 5 baptisms that are on the, what am I looking for? You know what I mean. They're signed up. I was going to say the register, and I was saying, am I getting like Luke 2 on them? We got 5 people signed up for baptism. I don't need a $1,000 word. And that's some beautiful stuff. So we see the church grow. We see God's blessed us with this space. We see baptisms, people who are getting saved and want to follow Jesus even in a deeper way and demonstrate that by expressing that through baptism. Like, there's just so many fantastic things happening. We just keep breaking new ground. And one of the things that we're going to break new ground, we got potentially, maybe we'll call our first deacons. Okay? They're going to present their case at the membership meeting. These 2 men, I'll let you know who they are. Joe Gore and Alex Lawson will present their case to the members of this church of why they should possibly be called as deacons of this church. We want you to be part of that process, and it's a part of maturity. We are in a culture, we are in a world where there are so many things that are dysfunctional. Can I get an amen? I've never seen families more dysfunctional in my life. I've never seen communities more dysfunctional. I've never seen nations more dysfunctional. What we want to do at Restoration Road is we want to see what the scriptures reveal about the offices of the church and how they should function. And one of them is the office of deacon. And I'm going to explain it like this. My kids have a great aunt, my sister, and a great uncle, my brother-in-law. You know, my sister is fantastic in the way that she loves my kids. She laughs with my kids. She gets my kids fashionable gifts because they got to be fashionable. My kids love their aunt. They love their uncle. Uncle Devin is a legend, okay? He goes on all the roller coasters that Dad won't go on. Like, I'm at Storyland, like, riding that Polar Express. Like, you got that? You understand me? That's what I go on. I did go on the Roarosaurus, I'm telling you, and I thought I conquered the world. But Devin is that uncle in so many other ways. They have a great aunt and a great uncle. It's important in families that mom and dads have extended family who help raise the kids, help love the kids, help care for the kids, help set examples for the kids, help serve the kids. Now, I know some people like, you better name the grandparents and the cousins, kid. I want to focus on aunts and uncles today for the sake of, we're talking about deacons. And this is why. Even though Nikki and Devin are great aunt and uncle, they aren't ultimately responsible for raising Talia and Kara, okay? They help serve, and they help care, and they're there to love and set an example. But me and Natalie are responsible for raising Talia and Kara. Pastors are the spiritual dads of a community. They're the ones who are ultimately responsible, a plurality of elders, for the spiritual care of every member of the church. They care for them, they love them, they encourage them, they discipline them, they're always there to pray and minister through word. Deacons, I would describe as the spiritual uncles and or aunts of a family. Do you guys hear me? They serve, they love, they're example, they're great additions, but they're not ultimately responsible for the spiritual livelihood of each member. Does that make sense, guys? Just to use, because God's always using family, family metaphors when it comes to describing the body of Christ. So what else I want to think of deacons today? I want you to think of deacons as spiritual uncles or aunts that are there to lead and love and serve and lay down and model Christ to you. But I want to start with, let's turn to 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13. It says, deacons, likewise, must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first, and let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So I want us to learn a few things today. The office of deacon, the calling of deacon, the qualifications of deacon, the reward of being a deacon, and what it ultimately the deacon is doing for the community. Because what has happened is the office of deacon has almost become a token position. Like, oh, they're not called to be a pastor. Make them a deacon. Yeah. Oh, be a deacon. You're a deacon. Oh, you've come 52 straight weeks. You're a deacon. Like, we need to understand that this is a high office. You need to be qualified, and we'll get to this. Did you anyone notice that the qualifications are the same as a pastor? That's a high calling. So I want to start in a funny place here. I want to start with the importance of pastoral preaching and pastoral prayer. The word of God is so important. The preaching of God's word is so important. The exposing of the scriptures is vital to your life. There's a hunger in you. There is a thirst in you that can only be met by the exposed words of scripture. And God gives men gifts to expose that scripture. And if you don't hear the preachers of the word of God, you will spiritually die and dry up. That's how important the word of God is. And that's why so many people fall away, and so many people dry up, and so many people doubt, and so people don't feel like they can go on because they're not getting spiritual sustenance. You cannot, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's why Jesus, when he was hungry, he could keep going, because I'm not even ultimately living by those bread and those carbs. I'm living by the word of God that sustains me and moves me and causes me to have being. Everything in me, it moves through my joints, my blood, my bones, my lungs. The word of God does that. That's how important it is that you will dry up if you don't have the word of God. And the major calling of the deacon is to free up the pastors to bring the word of God and pray for God's people. And I want you to turn to, we're going to do two texts today, so let's turn to Acts 6, 1 through 7. We're going to eat. That's it. Joe doesn't want to be a deacon anymore. It says, now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint came from the Hellenists. It arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of spirit and of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of priests became obedient to the faith. So if you look at that text, something you will notice right there, some people believe that's the first callings of deacons in the early church. What did the people who were preaching, the apostles, the disciples, realize that was happening? They said, we shouldn't be setting up tables. We shouldn't be doing all the manual stuff because it's taken away from us preaching the word of God. Now notice this. It's not saying that they said, this is below us. I can't set up tables or that's too lowly. That's not part of the kingdom of God. The greatest among you is a servant. But they're saying, our time can't be given to setting up tables and doing all these practical things that need to be done, because it's taken away from the preaching of the word of God. And let me tell you, a lot of pastors never realize the church wants them to be the janitor, the landscaper, the tech guy, and the softball coach. By the time the week's done, they're like, okay, let's preach John 3:16. Everyone believe. They have no time to make a meal. A pastor's, in order for a church to be healthy, and pastor expose the word of God so the people eat, so they are propelled for the mission of God and find life in the word of God, deacons need to free up the pastors so they are not distracted and can make a good meal. This past summer, I'm not a good cook. I'll be straightforward with you. I make a mean peanut butter and jelly. I decided this summer I'm going to become a better griller. I said it's getting serious. I'm sick of it. I'm going to at least not be known for one meal that I can make right. So it was a Saturday. I looked up. I said, I'm going to make shrimp on the barbie. It looks easy. I can do it on the grill, and I like seafood. So I said, my family mocked me. They laughed at me. They had no faith in me. They said, you ain't no cook. I said, I'm making a meal right now. So I got the ingredients. I just looked it up on the internet. I got the recipe. I bought all the ingredients. I got a special ingredient because you ain't making nothing unless you're having a special ingredient. You understand me? I understood how long to cook it. I said, no one bother me. I'm cooking this right now. I got outside. I fired up the grill. I heated it up. I threw all the shrimp. I marinated everything. I made this meal. Pandora slow jams on. I'm just making shrimp on the barbie. The big test was my family came out. Tal's always the first to test it out. He's like, what you got there? I said, here you go. Now, there was fear in my soul. Because I said, if I failed this mission, there's no hope. They already don't believe in me. She took that first bite, mind blown. They loved this meal I had prepared. And now I can make it no problem. It's all I can make, but I make it good. The reason I tell you the story, the secret ingredient first, you want to know. It's Mike's Hard Lemonade, Black Cherry Edition. The alcohol burns off. Don't worry about it. It gives it color. It makes it nice. They love it. But you know what the real secret ingredient of making a good meal was and why I made a good meal that day? Because I wasn't trying to mow the lawn at the same time. I didn't have the ladder set up in the gutter and running down to the shrimp. Right? I wasn't building a playground, a swing, and then running to the grill. Reason I tell you that story, because many pastors try to do that. But know what deacons do? They say, make that meal to sustain, to give nourishment, to bring life, to bring joy. I got the lawn. Come on, that's good. I'm going to clean those gutters. I will put up the playground. Because the word of God is so important that deacons play that role and come in and say, we understand that our family needs to be fed. And we want our pastors to be undistracted. Those are called to preach the word, whoever they are. We need them preparing full and nourishing and undistracted meals for our family. You know, this week, this is important to the word of God. Habakkuk, I think it's 2:14 says, in an eschatological way, one day the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. How is the earth filled with the knowledge of God? By hearing the word of God, by listening and sustaining. That's the view that one day the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of God and the word of God. When we don't have that word of God, we feel anxious. We feel depressed. We feel despair because we don't feel the presence of God. I say right now, if you don't even understand this, you feel the presence of God because you're among God's people identifying the kingdom of God, and faith is built by hearing of the word of God. And I'm going to share the story with you. This past Thursday, and I want everyone to understand this, because I think people only think certain people struggle with anxiety. Everyone struggles with anxiety, some more than others. And if they're not telling you about it, they're just not being an honest person, okay? Thursday morning, I woke up, and I felt so overwhelmed just by life. You ever feel so overwhelmed by life? Are you one of these people just working out like, I got this dog positive? Listen, I don't care who you are, how good you think, how much you work out, you are still going to be anxious sometimes, okay? Because you're living in a broken world with broken things, and you're a broken person, and you need the restoration that only comes through the presence of God. So I felt so, I was getting scared. I'm like, wow, I am so anxious right now. I'm in my house. And know what made it worse? Natalie said she lost her phone before she left to drop off the kids. So last time I saw her, Joy, I lost my phone. I'll see you. And I was just in the house with no one, just feeling anxious. And I'm talking real anxious. I broke out the guitar. I'm singing songs. I'm like, man, I'm bugging right now. If people knew their pastor was this anxious, I just felt so overwhelmed by life. And it was about 9:30. I did my pacing. I was in the Word. I was singing songs. And I thought the connection between me and Natalie had been broken because she had left her phone at Socorro in Wakefield on date night. So I said, I can't even call my wife to hear her words, to feel her presence, to bring me comfort. So it made me more anxious. I'm alone in this. I can't call Woodville and be like, could you put Kara on the phone right now? I was like, I'm alone at 139 Montrose. I'm just anxious. Then all of a sudden that phone rang. And it said, Natalie, my first thought, she's ridiculous. Why didn't she tell me she found a phone? Second thought was like, I didn't even tell her this. Just hearing her voice and knowing that I wasn't in it alone and knowing that God had given me someone to face life with, all of a sudden I felt a lot of my anxiety dissipate. Okay? I share that story because that's how it is with the Word of God. Many of us are dried up, we're anxious, we're depressed, and we're trying to comfort ourselves in so many ways. And what we need so much is that Word of God preached by the pastor of God and the congregation of God to ease our soul, fill our soul, so we feel the presence of God. Amen? And the reason I share that story, because deacons, for your pastors, do that well. So rather than live in anxiety, depression, despair, the people of God have constant, regular meals where they're living in life and hope and faith and peace. And so that's what I want you to hear. I want to start there. Secondly, we need to identify what a deacon is. 16 months. We didn't want that token deacon, I told you. You're a good guy. You give a little. 52 weeks in a row. Get in there, bro. You dress good on Sundays. We said, this needs to be a serious position, a serious calling. We men who are coming before you in January, this is going to be the 17th month they've been on the leadership track before they even come before you to present a case of potentially being a deacon. You know, anyone ever heard of the BTK killer? If you're like me, I'm trying to stop, but you watch those serial killer things, you're like, I'm kind of bored, let me watch, and you bug yourself out. I'm watching the BTK killer, right? Watching his story. I forget, you know, 5'7" back in the day. I'm like, this is ridiculous. This guy's killing people. He's actually murdering and torturing prostitutes in the woods. But you know what the craziest part of the story was? He was a deacon in his church. I'm watching all this stuff, and halfway through he says he was a deacon. I was like, what? What does this community look like? I think that's disqualifying, no, serial killer? What kind of authentic relationships were there where you didn't realize this dude is murdering people in the woods? What kind of leadership track did you have? This dude got through like that. It just concerned me because many churches just throw people in the position they don't really know them. Let me tell you what we've done at Restoration Road. We've confronted these men with tough questions. I'm talking the type of questions that make me uncomfortable when I go home. We've told them about sin in their life they need to confront and seen how they deal with that. That's how you see leaders. Either we say there's sin in your life and they say, well, I was, you know, this happened and that happened. That's not really sin. It's just I had a bad day. We said, you're a sinner in this area. Are you going to confront it so you can lead God's church? Are you going to justify it? If they justify it, no lead. They say, they come undone and say, I got to work on that. Then you say, this man can be a leader in the household of God. He needs to be tested. So the scriptures say, deacons need to be tested because this is a high calling. They need to be, this is the definition we came up with for a deacon in the leadership track. It said, a deacon is a qualified person who practices the gospel in deed, serving the church under authority of the pastors, under the authority of the pastors, allowing the preaching of God's word to increase, producing more disciples. That's the definition. Let me read that one more time. Please hear this. A qualified person who practices the gospel in deed, serving the church under the authority of the pastors, allowing the preaching of God's word to increase, producing more disciples. So the first part of that, you see qualified, right? I'm not going to go over every character distinction, but you can go back and listen because you just subscribed to the podcast. Go back and listen to the pastor's one because the pastor's one is basically the same. It says, likewise, deacons must be dignified. These are huge. Not double-tongued. This is a huge one. If a deacon is someone who is like saying to the pastor, man, I love what's going on in the church, and then he's with the members like, man, I don't like what we're doing. You feeling what I'm feeling? Like all those kind of divisive things. He's not double-tongued. Not addicted to much wine. Joe Gore says this, says a deacon can have an extra glass of wine than a pastor. Not greedy for dishonest gain. A clear conscience. Not slanderous. Sober-minded. Faithful. And managing their own households well. This is so important. If a man or woman cannot manage their household well, they cannot be a leader as a deacon in the house of God. Because that says something about their character. If your family does not respect you, then how can the church respect you? It says the same about pastors. If a pastor's always separated from his wife and sleeping down the street, how is he getting the pulpit and telling you how to live? Same thing with a deacon. If they can't manage their house well, how can they be examples of serving God indeed? So please hear that. They need to be qualified, even to serve in practical ways. This is how serious the household of God is. You can't set up tables with the office of deacon without having your life together and your character being at a high standard. That's a high bar there. So we start there. Secondly, they serve on the authority of the pastors. More churches have split because the deacons and the pastors don't understand their role and they end up being divided. There's actually church structures where the deacons actually run the church. The deacons hire the pastor. The deacons decide the sermon. Like, that's not the scripture. The deacons are not the spiritual leaders. The deacons are not the preachers of the word. The deacons are not the ones who give discipline if someone is sinning and hurting the household of God. Deacons are the ones who serve practically and set an example in character and free up the pastors to be the overseers and spiritual authorities of the church. Does that make sense, guys? This is vital for our function. Because if we can get our function and our health right, the church is going to continue to grow and be healthy. What did it say at the end of Acts 6, 1 through 7? When the deacons did their job, more disciples were made, and the word of God increased, and the church grew. So they serve on the authority of the pastors. One of the beautiful things having deacons in this church, those two guys come before you, they trust their pastors, they love their pastors, they know their pastors, they trust their doctrine. There's a real relationship there. The same with the pastors toward the deacons. There's a real relationship there where we know each other's life. We know our strengths. We know our struggles. We know what they believe doctrinally. That's vital. The most important thing I want you to pull out of this is when a deacon does his job well, more and more disciples of Jesus are made when a deacon does his job well. Deacons make the mission of God go forward so more people are saved. When you have healthy deacons in a church, more people are coming to Jesus, more people are ushered into the kingdom of God, more people will stand before the throne of God and say, my faith is in Jesus and experience an eternal heaven if deacons do their job well. That's how serious this is. That's how weighty this is. That's how heavy this is. And finally, there has to be a reward if you're doing all this sacrifice, right? There has to be a reward if you're laying down your life, if you're serving, if you're being a deacon. And the scriptures say it, you know? I mean, as a parent, is it not hard being a parent? No amens. You know you feel it. It's hard to be a parent. Let me tell you, I love my kids. I sacrifice my kids. I serve my kids. But it's hard being a parent. And why are you a parent? Because the reward of being a parent. There's nothing like the love you receive from your children. There's nothing like the praise your kids give you. You know? There's nothing like seeing them flourish. There's nothing like that reward. Everything you lay down a sacrifice for in the kingdom of God always has a reward on the end. Every student you ever ask who has spent hours and hours studying their profession for the future career, do you ever talk to anyone who's doing classes in school and they say, man, I love it. Homework, homework, homework. I love it. No, they're like, man, it's a busy season. I haven't met one student that has said, it's so busy, so busy. It's so hard. There's so much sacrifice. I can't do that. I got no money and I got a lot of debt. But they say the reward of when I finish and when I pay off my debt is going to be, I'm going to know my career, have a career, be firmer in my profession, and stand firm. It's the same with deacons. They lay down a lot. They're mowing the lawn. They're cleaning the gutters. They're setting up the playground. But when all is said and done, the first thing the scriptures say, they should receive honor in the household of God. So there's two mistakes that are made in the Christian faith. Catholics deify their leaders, and Protestants don't recognize the leaders. They're like, him? He's the pastor, just one of us. He's low. Like, there's two opposite things. But the scriptures teach that deacons are deserved of honor and pastors who preach are deserve a double honor. In our culture, in our community, not in a praise worshipful way, we should honor our leaders. Just like we honor our dads, moms, aunts, and uncles. Who says, he's just my dad, no big deal? No one says that. That's my dad, I love him, he's the strongest. When Talia says it, it's true. You praise your leaders. You praise the people that God has put over you. Not in a worshipful way, not to magnify them to Jesus, but you honor them. A healthy family, a healthy church honors its leaders. Like, it was beautiful last week. Like, I got mugs with scripture on it. I got a pumpkin pie made for me on Christmas. I ate that pumpkin pie like I'm being honored. I ate cheesecakes with the cherry on the side from members in this church who said, I love my pastor, I'm going to honor my pastor. It's the same with deacons. We should honor our deacons. Anyone who's laying down their life in word or deed in the household of God, a pastor, deacon, should be honored and revered in love, because you know those men have character, and they're not about the praise, they're about laying down their life for you so the word of God goes forward and you grow as disciples of Jesus. Amen? So that's the first thing. And final point here. Secondly, the reward of a deacon is their faith is built. They are firmer in their faith. And we've talked in Timothy. In Timothy, what happened to people who fell away from their faith? Their conscience was seared because they kept being disobedient to God. And we talk about the danger of that. When the Holy Spirit keeps moving on your heart about something, and you know it's sin, but you keep saying no and pushing away, no, no, what happens eventually is you lose faith and you fall away. That's what happens with dirty consciences. But a pure conscience, you mature and your faith is built and you stand firmer. It's the same with the calling of a deacon. When someone feels called to be a deacon, they answer that call and they lay down their life and they walk in that. When you walk in obedience, your conscience is clear. And when a deacon walks in that calling, he becomes more firm in his faith. And deacons should be the most faithful, concrete dudes and women in a congregation. So this is my vision for Restoration Row in the future. And this is all about the mission of God. That our future years are filled with men and women who answer the call of deacon, who are qualified, who understand the function and the role, who grow in their faith, who are honored. And because they function properly, more disciples are made, and the word of God gets to more people for the glory of God. And we see in a way, in a manner, God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven in the community of Restoration Road. Amen? Let's pray.